Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for tuning in to another episode of Nerd Up. This week I got Dalton Anthony.
Yo.
Asa Gray.
Yes.
And I'm your host, Jesse Kimball. And we'll finally get to all the news that we didn't get to talk about last week. Plus a little bit of extra news this week. Starting off with new this week, Zombieland 2 got a trailer.
Yay! I'm excited.
I had forgotten this was happening. It's been so long.
I'm not going to lie. I will probably end up watching it, but I did not love Zombieland as much as apparently the rest of the internet.
It was right at like peak zombie craze.
And that's part of the reason why I did not love it as much, because like it was very good, but I didn't like at this point I don't really care about zombies anymore.
I mean, I got burnt out hard on zombies, don't get me wrong, but I didn't get burnt out on zombies for another, like, and I say this is peak, like, this is, like, early peak, like, zombie craze, because it, like, I got burnt out on zombies around, like, 2010, 2011, something like that. Like, I just, at that point, like, I started actively disliking zombies, or anything zombie-related. But, yeah, around the time of Zombieland, though, I was super into it, just like every other, like, nerd was.
Because it was, like, 2009, wasn't it?
2013.
Zombieland came out in 2013?
Yep. I just looked it up because I'm trying to figure out when.
That is not true.
That's not even remotely true.
Let me see if I can get that pulled back up, then.
Because I was in high school.
I was about to say, I know for a fact I was in college.
Oh, that's Zombieland Double Tap. What is Zombieland Double Tap?
That's what 2 is going to be called.
That's listed as a 2013 horror movie.
Maybe
Zombieland
2009.
Zombieland was 2009.
Yeah. Okay. I was like, I knew it was 2009. I'm not going insane.
I was like, no, I was definitely in college.
Because like I was in the middle of high school.
I remember watching it on my Zune.
Just so I'm not crazy, that says 2013 horror, right?
Release date October 11, 2019.
I'm talking up there.
Oh yeah, that says 2013.
The headline one.
That's weird.
Says right. 2013. That's what
I
was.
My bad. I was looking at the release date version of it.
I wonder if that was like maybe that was when it was announced.
That's the Google page, right?
They announced Zombieland 2 a long time ago. Like I said, I completely forgot this was happening. They announced it so long ago. So maybe that's what that is. But either way,
I didn't think they announced it that long ago because I thought because I know people have been like clamoring for one forever.
Yeah,
I could have sworn they announced that they were working on one a really long time ago.
It might have been a year or two ago, and we just do so many of these shows that everything feels like a long time ago.
It also is 3 years after The Walking Dead debuted, because that was 1 year. It was 1 year after.
I was about to say 2008.
1 year before. Jesus, that 13 really screwed me.
I was about to say, I don't think
so. No, Walking Dead was 2010, so this was a year before Walking Dead. So no, I wasn't burnt out on zombies. It's just
I just don't like zombies.
I also don't think I saw. No, I rented Zombieland. I didn't see it in theaters.
Same.
So, yeah, that probably... I couldn't tell you when I did, but...
Yeah. I saw it in theaters. I was super stoked about it. Mm-hmm. I've also, like, had a crush on Emma Stone for a real long time.
Law had.
Yeah, right? smash that crush button. It's still active. I loves me some Emma Stone. I loved that movie, though. And, yeah, all of, like... That was a common one for me to throw on in the background. I still like they just recently re-added it to Netflix.
It's one of those movies. It's kind of like the Scott Pilgrim versus the World. Like those are the comedies of my high school years. That's just
Scott
like
Pilgrim.
Those were the comedies that defined me. Which is really funny that a zombie movie is one of my favorite movies of all time.
In
it's
fairness,
not it's not horror
I was about
at all.
To say nothing about that movie was scary.
Like the opening part is a little creepy, but it's because they don't lean into the comedy right away.
No.
But they just kind of do like zombie outbreak, but it's not like jump scares. It's just like, oh, this is really happening right now.
Yeah, with Metallica going in the background.
Yeah. Oh, no, it was awesome. Don't get me wrong.
You know, there was nothing like horror style about it. It just wasn't quite funny yet.
All of like the overt like talking head in the background of it, of him explaining how to survive a zombie, that was funny.
Yep. Jesse Eisenberg, I think.
Before they gave him roles that he probably shouldn't have had. We're looking at you, Lex Luthor. Actually, that's really the only one, because I loved him in Social Network.
I actually have still not seen The Social Network.
It's a good movie.
That's what I hear, but whatever. But yeah, no, he definitely was not I still stand by he was not a great cast choice for Lex Luthor. He did not make much sense in that role. But anyway.
I think it was the writing. I think if they would have done it right...
Nope. There's nothing about him that says Lex Luthor to me.
But Lex Luthor Jr., because it was a different character. Like they again, the writing was bad, and they should feel bad.
So the Zombieland 2 trailer, it looks like, you know, we got a bunch of other survivors they're going to be interacting with. I really liked the straight-up, I guess, Ditto group that they found.
Oh, yeah.
I'm trying to remember who was playing either of those people, and I don't
Is Bill Murray going to be in this one?
Probably not.
IMDb just goofed on me, too, because that's definitely not Zombieland.
No, it's because it's scrolling through.
Oh, okay. It was just a picture of Frozen.
That's like the headline banner of just like, hey, read these articles.
That's new.
By the way, Trader makes this look super fun.
Yeah.
I'm sure it'll be fun. It's just this isn't something I'm particularly like super excited about.
No, that's fair. I'm still excited about it, even though like I guess zombies have been out of my system long enough now that like I'm fine with zombie stuff coming out again.
Mm-hmm.
Because it really was just a problem, like how much zombie related stuff there was towards like by 2013. That was bad.
I think part of it too is like every piece, because so like everything was zombies, but literally nothing would call them zombies. They had to find some like cute little name, like that, yeah. Zombie freaker, biter, whatever. Like, no, they're zombies. We all know they're zombies. How are all of these movies taking place not like in a universe George Romero did not exist?
They just didn't want to call them. So they probably get sued for it.
I don't think it's copy. I don't think zombie is copyrighted.
It should. I don't think it can be. Or maybe they were just. I'm sure they were just trying to be unique with it. And we call them this instead. Well, okay. Which the only one I'll give a pass to on that is like the 28 days and 28 weeks later, because they weren't technically undead and they were also
miss me with that too. Well, technically, they're not actually zombies. Like
that
no.
wasn't the main point I was getting at.
No,
the
I know.
Point I was getting at.
But it reminded me of that, and it's just like, no, get out.
Fair enough. The main point I was getting at was how they moved. Because like
they ran.
Yeah, they not just run, like dead sprint.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I'm checking IMDb, and I get that I always do this, and I get that we always do the take it with a grain of salt. But Dan Aykroyd and Bill Murray are both in Zombieland Double Tap.
Huh. I mean, I
all right, you want me to spoil it?
They can make a cameo.
I mean, he could just be a zombie.
So when they meet their mirror group, they tell the story about when they met Bill Murray.
And then
and it's clips from the first one. You don't... same thing with Dan Aykroyd.
I hope so.
And then it's just clips of them.
The same scene with just Aykroyd. I hope that you are completely correct.
Somebody somewhere is like submitting this. Like,
like I know you've already shot the Hold movie because it only comes out in like 3 months. But
that was the big crazy part to this trailer.
They filmed the entire thing and kept it quiet.
Yeah. Because it comes out in October, right?
Yeah.
Like, yeah. What?
That's the way to do it, though.
Because I think it comes out October 20th.
Yeah, it's close to Halloween, I'm pretty sure. I think October 19th is what I saw, but I'll do a double check.
Yeah. Either way, yeah, that was 18th. The biggest news, October 18th. Okay. That was the biggest news, was like, sweet, when is this movie coming? I'm betting next spring. What? Three months? I'll have this for Halloween? Oh.
Thank you, Zombieland.
Yeah, no, I'm super pumped about this movie. Like I said, I absolutely love the first one.
It's a lot of really good actors in it.
That too. Yes, sir.
All right. I know I'm part of the problem.
Okay.
But yeah. There's a new trailer for the new season of American Horror Story.
Mm-hmm.
And seeing it without like sound, I'm sure is not doing it favors. But I'm on board.
What is it this year?
It's 1984. So they're doing like a sleepaway camp.
Oh.
Thing.
Okay, that's kind of cool.
And it's and here's the thing. I have not seen a full season of American Horror Story since Freak Show?
What was the one that Adam Levine was in?
The first one.
Was it? Because I thought that was the...
That was the murder the first, house.
Nope, that was second season. First one was a school, wasn't it?
Nope, the second season was Asylum.
Second season was Asylum. Murder House, Asylum, Coven, Freak Show, and then I
Hotel.
Lose track because... Okay, so Hotel...
And then there was Roanoke. And then the last season
Apocalypse.
Was Apocalypse, yeah.
This is 84. Yeah, we made it. So I've seen all of Freak Show. I gave up like towards the end of Coven, and I have not seen any of Hotel or any of the other ones.
I was about to say, the Hotel I actually did enjoy.
I've heard Hotel is really good, but it's the same thing of what I say about every season of American Horror Story. Man, that was really good up until the last like four episodes, except for apparently Roanoke, because like Hunter and Shannon.
Oh, I gave up on, like, because I actually was keeping up with American Horror Story,
mm-hmm.
Like up until Roanoke. Where Roanoke, like, four episodes in, they just make the dumbest turn. I'm like, all right, cool, I'm out. Like, yeah. This is stupid now.
So, like, stuff like that. And, like, I haven't heard much about Apocalypse.
I have heard literally nothing.
Either. So, I know, except I know they did away with no, it was no supernatural stuff. It was entirely, like, people. No, we're missing one. We're missing Election Night.
What?
Yeah, there because there was the that was an Apocalypse, I don't think.
No, that, I think you're thinking of The Purge.
No, 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 because there's one American. There was an American Horror Story season based around the election, the Trump-Hillary election.
Well, I don't remember this at all.
Yeah, because it was the clown one. Because like there was a clown. Evan Peters was like some crazy, like far right dude, and then the actress, I can't remember her name. She was like a super hypersensitive liberal woman, and it was just like I watched the season opener and I was just like, oh, I don't care for this like at all.
This is the first I have heard anything about this.
And Adam Levine was in season 2 because I was going insane, and then I just googled it because Brittany
he was in
made
season 2 as well.
No, he was just in season 2. I don't think he was in season 1.
Definitely in season 1 because he was one of the ghosts that show up.
Cult.
Oh yeah, forgot about Cult.
Yep.
Because I stopped watching, like I said, with Roanoke was the last season that I started watching.
Yeah, because it was Murder House, Asylum, Coven, Freak Show, Hotel, Roanoke, then Cult, and that's the one that was during the election, and then Apocalypse was season 8. So this is going to be season 9.
Okay,
premiering September 18th.
The fan wiki only says season 2.
Weird.
I know, because it's only like, because I only remember I never watched season 1 because Brittany was like, do you want to watch the first season? I was like, is Adam Levine in it? And she was like, no. And I was like, all right, then I only want to watch the second season. And I got about halfway through it, and I'm like, this is too creepy. That because it was Coven, because I remember that.
Nope, they, season 2 was Asylum.
Asylum, you're right, my bad.
Him and his girlfriend, whatever, break into the house.
Yes.
After it's been.
Oh, that. Because okay.
Like, that's they're in like the first episode, because that was like the big hook. Was like, Adam Levine starring in American Horror Story. And it's
and
like.
He was like in like a 2 episodes or whatever.
Yeah, and he was only, and he was like a framing device.
Yup.
I like, he got his arm cut off, and I'm like, so I can stop watching this, right? Because then it just got weird.
Yeah, I think I was thinking of, no, I know who I was thinking of. I'm not going to say it on the show because I don't want to hit me afterward.
Well, now I'm going to forget.
Yeah, that's fine.
you jerk.
Yeah, I know, right? Anyway, moving back here, though. The thing about, like, American Horror Story, like, 1984 sounds like it could be cool and everything, but do remember how they made a war between... witches.
You're quoting me at me. Like I understand what I'm probably, and to be fair, I more than likely won't see it until it's on like Hulu, which I kind of want to go back and watch some of the other ones too. Like even though, like, is Roanoke that bad? I know Hunter's screaming at his phone. Yes, it is. Don't do it. But like, and maybe
and Jesse's just nodding vigorously at him. Like, yeah.
And I'm sure that's bad, Asa. Especially because you know my thing is why would no living human being. A functioning adult would never make this decision, and it takes me out of it. Like, it takes me out of the entire experience.
Yeah.
See the Halloween reboot from last year. But no, maybe it'll just be like, I'll let Hunter and Shannon talk about it in the group chat, and then that'll determine whether or not I actually, like...
If they even give it a shot, because they didn't talk about the last 2 seasons either.
Oh, fair.
Because Roanoke was the last one they talked about.
For the listeners, Ace, you want to finish that quote about season 3?
Oh, yeah, they made a war between vampire... between a coven of witches... a group of voodoo priestesses, and a corporate witch-hunting agency. Boring.
Yeah, they did.
I don't know how they did it, but they sure did.
It also had the happiest ending of any of the American Horror Story shows.
I do know how they did it, because they did, like, everything off-screen. It was legitimately like, okay, this episode ends, holy crap, stuff's going down, let's go. And then the next episode opens up with, meanwhile, oh, by the way, like, everybody's dead now except for the people that we need to talk about. Question. No questions. Thank you for your time.
Yeah, that was season 3 in a nutshell.
Keep your hands and feet inside the car.
All right, so anyway, moving past that, we got a Jay and Silent Bob reboot trailer.
Yay!
I just want to see the movie. Like, the trailer was, I'm worried about how much we saw in the trailer. Because there were a lot of jokes in the trailer.
There were.
But it's a Kevin Smith movie that's 95% jokes.
I know. And it's more importantly. So I love Kevin Smith. I have always strongly preferred Clerks to Jay and Silent Bob.
That's fair. Yeah.
The amount
that's
of
a significantly better movie.
The amount of Jay and Silent Bob in Clerks is the perfect amount of Jay and Silent Bob.
That's totally fair. I get what you're saying.
The movies for me, like, just again, this is a personal thing, they're a little much. But the amount of, like, Kevin Smith lore that even made it into the trailer, like, makes my heart happy.
Oh yeah, no, there's
Ben Affleck's in the movie. You know how happy
they all are. They all are.
Well, yeah, but that was the one that if there wasn't gonna be, it was gonna be him.
Well, and Randall.
Oh,
because that's why Clerks 2 is not going to happen. Yeah, Clerks 2 definitely did happen, and it was a great movie. They had the amazing dance bit
on the roof, Jesse.
I know, and I liked it. But honestly, like, the only reason I like Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back, like, if I'm being honest, it has a lot to do with the age I was and the fact that Eliza Dushku and Ali Larter were in that film.
Totally fair. But I think they still are.
And she's in it.
I can't say her last name.
Eliza Dushku?
Yeah, I can't say it. I can say Eliza.
I don't even know if that's how you say her last name. That's how I've said it my entire life, and I've never heard it corrected.
So the chick from American Pie's in it. Sorry, that's how I have to say it.
I'm not saying I'm right, you're wrong. That's just how I've always...
Eliza, whatever her name is, is in American Pie.
Is she?
Yes.
Isn't she the girl that like changes that he films on his webcam?
Yes. Because that's the one where he dances and like she's shirtless and then like he does something and then everybody, including Blink-182, laughs at him.
I'm looking this up.
I mean, she is. Because I'm batting 2 for 2 today, guys.
The only one that I remember from American Pie is Allison Hannigan,
the chick from How I Met Your Mother.
Yeah, but she's the smart
part. Went to the better one.
Bandcamp. No, but that's
to the
just,
thing
no,
that
no.
I didn't watch.
No, that's her. That's her line.
Her joke.
Bandcamp.
But yeah, no, Eliza Dushku is definitely in it.
Yeah, however you say her last name.
I enjoy her.
Yeah, no, I like her quite a bit.
And like I said, I'm sure this is going to be... She was the voice of Shaundi in Saints Row 2.
Cool.
No way.
Huh.
That's awesome. Well, she wasn't in That 70s Show.
She was not in American Pie.
She wasn't?
She was not.
Who am I thinking about then?
I have no idea.
Yeah, she doesn't have a credit to it.
Well, all right. She was not
in American Pie.
All right, well, I'm batting 2 for 3.
I think I know who you're talking about, and I can't think of her name either.
So you're talking about? No, I haven't seen American Pie in a while. This is not important.
Yeah. Don't worry, I'm already Googling it. So,
you know, I guess that's fair.
This is my life because you guys will start talking.
All right, so we'll move past that. Though we got a
Shannon Elizabeth.
Jesus, yep, just found it.
Shannon, that's okay. I do the same thing with them too, though.
Yeah, they're pretty similar.
It's also the Patrick Swayze, Kevin Bacon.
I'll say that I have that with Kurt Warner and Russell Crowe. Not Kurt Warner.
Kurt Russell. I was going to say.
Warner's a football player.
Yeah,
sure is.
Kurt Russell and Russell Crowe. Like, mm-hmm. I get those. Like, for whatever reason, I very much know the difference between the two.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, in my head, they're interchangeable. There's nothing similar about them at all.
Sometimes Kurt Russell turns into a three-way with Kevin Bacon and Patrick Swayze and Kurt Russell.
You know, that's honestly
kind of fair. Because they were all big at roughly the same time, and they were all in very similar movies.
And honestly, like, Kurt Russell and Patrick Swayze even look a little similar.
All right, so now I'm
super similar.
I've taken a screenshot of both actresses and flipping back and forth, and they're just similar enough for me to not see them in, like, 15 years to totally get them interchangeable. And now we're going to delete those photos because this is creepy.
See, Eliza Dushku is another one of those ones. Like, I had a huge crush on her when I was a kid. A lot of thanks to Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
Fair.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, I had a huge crush on her. So whenever you're like, she was in American Pie, I was like, I don't think so.
All right, Shannon Elizabeth was in. She's Justice in Jay and Silent Bob. So I was.
She's
in awesome. The movie. All right, everything is justified now. Because I was like, she was in both movies.
Well, now that we've had a 6-minute try to solve a
Harley
brain fart.
Harley Quinn animated series for the DC universe got its first actual trailer beyond
that's
the teaser.
All we got to say about it.
It definitely happened. It's definitely a thing. I heard like they did an early screening and the reviews on it are pretty decent. Like
Margot Robbie is the one that's voicing
new Kaley Cuoco.
Oh, okay.
From Big Bang Theory.
Okay.
Didn't she do Harley Quinn in something else?
No, you're thinking also from Big Bang Theory, the girl that plays Bernadette.
I am not. I distinctly remember this girl, but it might have been when they announced that she was voicing this Harley Quinn.
Oh, it could be.
Like, because I remember the story of her specifically, because it's the blonde girl.
Bernadette's also blonde, but yes.
The main blonde girl.
Yeah, the main blonde girl that every nerd has a crush on.
Yeah.
Which, in fairness, she is attractive.
It's probably just like, you know, a while back when we read that she was going to be voicing Harley Quinn for something. That's just what I'm thinking of.
And yeah, we immediately got like the teaser that announced this show existing had her doing the voice for it. So we knew she wasn't going to have the accent or anything like that, which I'm fine with. Like, mm-hmm. she doesn't have to have the really irritating sounding accent.
I actually prefer that. Like, if I'm going to spend a significant amount of time listening to someone, I don't want it to be like a grating voice.
Yeah, as in you prefer not having the
accent? Yeah, no, okay. I would rather her not have the super over-the-top accent.
Because it sounded like, for a second, like I thought you meant that you prefer the accent.
No,
I was like,
no.
Huh, like, learned a neat thing about Asa today.
It kind of depends. Like, so if it's one of those things where she's a side character, then yeah, go for it. But if she's going to be doing most of the heavy lifting, like with the voice acting work, I don't want it to be a struggle to like keep that up.
Yeah, because I mean, it's not an attractive accent.
Mm-hmm.
I'm really sorry for our listeners from the Northeast. It's just not. But either way, like so we knew that she wasn't gonna have the accent or anything, which is fine. Like she didn't try to copy
Harley's before her.
Yeah,
Tara Strong and
Arlene trying to Sorkin. Think of Arlene Sorkin. I was trying to think of who before Tara Strong, because Tara Strong had a really good Arlene Sorkin impersonation. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And Melissa Rauch, that's the girl you're thinking of.
Yeah, that
hers was fine
because she also did the act. Which she can do that accent. She does that accent.
Yeah, it was her voice acting in that movie wasn't bad.
No, Dalton had other problems with that movie.
Yeah, I'm not gonna be irrational about my hatred of that movie. The voice acting was wonderful. The movie was dog pile. Because
I think it still had Kevin Conroy as Batman too, didn't it?
I will do a double check just for you. And I will say
no, make
can
a definitive
confirm.
Statement, Dalton.
Because it's...
I've been doing really good today. I just messed up the Shannon Elizabeth. I don't want to hear it.
Because, I mean, it was a movie by Bruce Timm and Paul Dini.
Yeah.
So
Kevin Conroy was Batman.
Yeah.
And Lauren Lester was Nightwing. I should have known that. Yeah, it was the original cast.
Yep.
Except for Harley Quinn.
Yeah, they did not get Arlene Sorkin back for Harley or Tara Strong. They got Bernadette.
But she did a fine job.
Melissa Rauch. I was about to say whose name. I already
literally
forgot.
Just said it.
But either way, so moving back here. So we got this animated series trailer, and it's definitely interesting. They're leaning real hard into like a hard M rating.
And that's what I hate about it. Like, honestly, I think this could be fun, and this could be goofy and good. But from the footage that we saw reeked of that try hard comedy. And it's like, oh, well, we have to, if they're going to give us an M rating, we got to really like just throw unnecessary stuff in there. And maybe it's just because it's the context of a trailer and we're not seeing everything around it.
Yeah.
Cause like trailers are hard to do.
Yeah.
So like, I mean, I would be willing to give it a shot. But the trailer did not leave me excited for this.
Because the trailer makes it look like a whole bunch of people are going to die in really brutal ways. Which, again, like, I'm fine with. As long as they're not leaning on it like some kind of, like, ridiculous crutch. And then they're going to really lean into the language. Because the trailer itself, like, had a warning at the beginning of it. Had a lot of blood, a lot of language in it. They're going to be really playing up the Harley-Ivy relationship in this one.
Mm-hmm.
Which we kind of got that from the teaser anyway. With some awkward Batman in there, which is fine. This definitely could be fun, but the trailer didn't give me like particularly high hopes for it.
It wasn't inspiring confidence.
No. I'm still going to give it a shot, especially if I still have access to DC Universe when it launches.
You will. I'm not going to forget to cancel it, and I still have like a year.
I will say there's one thing that completely almost completely salvaged this trailer. That leaned me more on the, all right, I'll definitely give it a shot side. It had Kite Man.
See, and I saw that, and I'm just like, they're going to have Kite Man, but he's not going to be Kite Man. Like, this is the version. There is one specific version of Kite Man that's awesome.
Hell yeah.
Hell yeah. And
if
honestly,
he doesn't say that in the show, I'm turning it off.
And that's the thing. Is it's like, but... Also, it's going to be that thing of like, oh, now you're just ripping off something good.
Nah, I'm fine.
Like, even if they do it and the show is terrible, and it's just like, oh, you're just leaning on like good writing.
Thanks, Scott.
Like, you're taking something that was good and now trying to corrupt it in your terribleness.
I did start watching Young Justice season 3 recently on the DC Universe. Like, it was really good. That was my connection to it.
And if the show is good and they don't do Hell Yeah, be like, but that's the best version of Kite Man.
Yeah, it's really kind of a. It just needs to
give
be good.
Give me exactly
and then
what I want, DC. Listen.
Hit him with the Batista.
I'm gift. Entitled with this.
You need.
I
this.
Bought your house.
Either way, yeah. So this could be good. I'll definitely be giving it a shot.
Yeah, I'm definitely not like just like you know writing it off, but like the trailer left me kind of like ooh.
The trailer did not inspire much confidence.
This could be
at
some
all.
Yikes.
Yeah, watching Joker get hit in the nuts with a bat was kind of funny though. Mm. Because
you're
that
part
humor,
of the problem.
No, yeah, I understand. Like there are certain things that I will always laugh at. Guy getting hit in the nuts, hilarious.
You should have been coming to Cape the last 3 months.
Pants ripping, hilarious.
You should have been in Cape two nights ago.
Yeah, Dalton told me that story. Yeah, no, like there's certain things like my inner 10-year-old is still just like
giggling. same things.
Yeah, no, a good old cartoon nut shot. Yeah, like I said, like I still lose it like that Parks and Rec bit where everybody's trying not to make fun of Jerry because he got mugged,
mm-hmm.
and he leans over, rips his pants, and farts. Like
peak comedy.
Like I said, my inner 10-year-old, like I understand as a grown man that this is the most basic of humor. But like I said, my inner 10-year-old is like, he.
About to say the highest of brows because they did it all at the same time.
It did.
That's called skill.
That was great. That was just brilliant writing. See, Young Justice, Dalton brought that a minute ago, got renewed for a fourth season, which makes me happy because I've been really enjoying season 3. And especially because they definitely aged the show with its audience.
Yeah.
There's some pretty brutal stuff that happens in season 3 of Young Justice.
Does me watching it throw off the way that you watch it?
I don't think so.
Awesome. Cause there's like 4 people in that DC universe.
It's one of those things like it'll mark, you know, what I've seen and what I haven't seen. So like if you get caught up, then it'll show like you have seen all of these.
Oh.
I think.
I love that you're using it more than I am.
Yeah, I am.
It's an amazing investment on your part.
Right?
That's my payment for Jesse Flicks.
There you go. And I'm fine with that. We're trading. Even but though yeah, you no, still haven't used Jesse Flicks.
I haven't used DC Universe. I think I'm like 4 or 5 episodes in and I really, really enjoyed it.
It's really
like,
good.
It's so good.
But there's some real brutal stuff. Like wait till yeah. happens. Wait till you meet Vic.
Oh, well, I'm excited now. I'm not there yet, but I'm going to be happy when I am.
All right, so anyway, moving past it, though, Hulu has picked up a TV adaptation of Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. We don't have any information on that whatsoever other than Hulu is making it happen, which I'm fine with because I love Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, and the movie was pretty good, but the book is really good, and I think TV shows are better for adapting long books like that.
Well, you can flesh things out more.
Exactly.
Like, you have a lot less of the whole, well,
Hitchhiker's Guide's not that long.
The increasingly poorly named trilogy.
Oh, okay. I'm just, the series, I thought you were just meant, like, just strictly
the book.
Oh,
yeah, just the first book. Yeah. No.
Because, like, I read that in a weekend, and I'm a slow reader.
No, yeah, the first book itself is not very long. There's quite a bit in it, but, yeah, no, it's not very long. But I think it's 6 books?
Oh. How are Hulu's exclusive stuff?
Hulu gets a lot of other people's exclusive stuff and then sells it as their exclusive stuff.
Runaways. I saw the first season of Runaways and liked it quite a bit. I'm trying to think of... I've definitely watched other Hulu originals, but I can't think of what they are. I know Handmaid's Tale is dumb popular.
Yeah.
Like, it's apparently phenomenal, but I still haven't watched it. Yeah, I can't. Like, if somebody mentioned, like, have you watched this Hulu original, the answer is probably yes. But I can't think of any at the moment.
See, it's weird to me because Hulu only has shows that aired, like, in 2006 and Ninja Turtles. It's the weirdest thing.
Yeah. Well, no, they also have that one show that aired from, like, 1999 to 2003.
Yeah.
Or however long that was. They have that one.
That's what I mean. Like, I only watched the stuff that used to be on Netflix so I could just binge watch it. And now it's gone.
Yeah.
So, it's on Hulu now.
I'm there.
King of the Hill, buddy.
Yeah, no, yeah. It clicked. It like, just took a second.
If you go through my Hulu, like, history, it's King of the Hill, American Dad, Ninja Turtles, the 2014 one, Bob's Burgers, End of List. Maybe Parks and Rec because they have the, they don't auto turn off. So it can just run all night. Community.
Yeah, no, I got the Blu-rays now. I don't need Hulu anymore.
I actually do Hulu a lot more than I do Netflix, and it is mostly for keeping up with shows. Like Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and that's it. I can't think of any other. There are other shows I definitely watch, but I can't think of any off the top of my head. Cloak and Dagger. But that's done airing. Good Place was airing on Hulu. Anyway, not terribly important. Either way, TV adaptation, Hitchhiker's Guide. We don't know, like I said, anything else about it. This next portion of our podcast brought to you by our wonderful friends at Villainous Grounds in Perryville, Missouri. Make sure you stop by there for all of your comic book needs and order your comics in advance so you don't run into a problem like not being able to get House of X when it came out.
I've gotten to see Dave like twice in this month, so I'm super excited.
I've also seen Dave a couple times this month because I've gone up on weird days.
Yep.
I'll see him in 2 days.
But hey, good for you.
Yeah. Well, all right, sir.
The rest of us don't get
to see
him.
You're up there all the time.
I am, yeah.
Anyway, Alan Moore is officially retiring for comics.
Okay.
Yeah, that's just just kind of a thing that's happened.
I mean, it's a big deal. You can't argue that he's not an icon, a very prolific writer.
No, he's
iconic.
Absolutely. Just like,
it's just one of those things, like, there's not much we can really talk about on it.
Yeah.
Like, other than, like, it's happening. Mm-hmm. He might unretire. Like, it's not.
Because it's writing, like.
Similar to characters in comic books, they don't really leave until they really leave.
Mm-hmm.
Which hopefully didn't happen for Alan Moore for a while. He is definitely an icon in comic books. Done a whole bunch of really, really great stuff that, still widely considered some of the best comic book media out there.
Because like he's retired, but at the same time, if he has a story that he wants to do, he will do it.
Yep.
Like,
and people will scramble to publish it.
Yep.
All right, we also got some more Batman. So we got Batman's Grave coming out October 9th, 2019. It's going to be a 12-issue miniseries written by Warren Ellis with art by Brian Hitch. I should have looked this back up. I knew the more details on this when I wrote it down for last week's episode of Nerd Up, and now I'm sitting here trying to think, what was this one about?
Did you delete the...
I just had it in my head what it was about.
Oh, okay.
Because it was something about Batman he's not investigating his own death. I just remember, all I remember right now
Batman
is the
obsesses
picture.
Over Gotham City's murder victims to the point of putting himself inside their heads and risking his own sanity. This series will follow his efforts to solve the murder of a victim with a mysteriously half-eaten face. All the while, Alfred worries his master may soon come to occupy the empty grave next to those of Thomas and Martha Wayne.
Because all I could remember was the picture of Alfred walking next to the graves of Thomas and Martha, mm-hmm. with the grave partially obscured next to it. And then the next image it says Bruce Wayne on it.
Yep.
So yeah, thank you, Asa. That'll be out October 9th, 2019, and sounds pretty interesting. I'm definitely going to grab at least the first issue. Something else that sounds really interesting, I don't know, it's only going to be 4 issues, so I'm probably going to grab this, especially with the author, The Rise of Kylo Ren. It's going to be launching in December. It's going to be written by Charles Soule. And like I said, it'll be 4 issues talking about how the Knights of Ren were established.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, like everything else, Star Wars from Marvel, it is canon. So this is actually, like, anybody who wants to know how this happened, here you go.
I read the initial Jason Aaron run.
About Kylo?
No, just a Star Wars book. Whenever, okay. I had the number one for a while. I don't think I do anymore. Because we all know I'm really good about stuff like that.
I was about to say it's a bummer because I think that's worth a little bit of money.
I'll check my boxes.
Not a ton, but...
I mean, but not Spider-Gwen money, but...
No.
but that was really good. The Mace Windu one shot that they kind of stopped doing was decent. It's just
I know Audra really liked the Vader one.
Charles
the Vader one
the
was
Vader
a,
one, and
yeah,
it was really good.
The Vader one I've never read, but I've heard amazing things about. Is it on... It's probably on Marvel Unlimited, isn't it?
Yep.
I'll have to give it a check.
I don't know.
I'll just pull it up on my phone really quick.
But as it almost certainly would be by this point.
Well, I just was unaware that the Marvel had any of the Star Wars stuff on Marvel Unlimited.
I don't see why they wouldn't.
They the Marvel publishes.
I'm not saying that they didn't. It's just I don't know if I've ever actually because usually
they'll advertise like right.
Well,
stuff.
I guess it's
nope,
been
Darth Vader's on it.
Okay, I guess it's been a while since I've actually gone to the homepage because at this point I just Google the issue that I'm looking for. Because the Marvel Unlimited search issue is booty.
Yeah, you look through that the same way I browse for stuff on Reddit.
Yeah.
That's 2015. Let me go back to the original one.
Charles Soule wrote at least the first couple of arcs in that Darth Vader book as mm-hmm. well, and it was really good.
When does this come out?
I don't have a release. Oh, December.
December. Okay.
Yes.
I got time.
So it'll be right before episode 9.
I might pick it up for Audra. Because, like, I don't personally care about it.
Oh, and Audra does like Kylo Ren a whole lot.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, and I mean, I'm probably going to grab it just because, like, I'm really curious about that storyline, because I'm really curious about some more of the backstory with Kylo. And also, Charles Soule is a phenomenal writer. And at this point is virtually a bookseller for me.
The terrible take in my head is, yes, give us the backstory for a thing that we haven't even seen.
Oh, yeah, we've only heard about.
Yeah. Yeah. It's been briefly mentioned in the movies.
Right. Which implies that they're not going to talk about it in episode 9 either, which, I mean, I'm kind of fine with. But anyway, we'll move past it here. Mary Jane Watson is getting a variant cover invasion, similar to how, like, Venom has in the past, Carnage is right now, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And she's also getting her own solo series starting in October 23rd, The Amazing Mary Jane number 1. It'll be written by Leah Williams with art by Carlos Gomez, and it will be about her.
But wait, so before you read this off, the only thing that I know of Mary Jane has been probably she was running Stark Industries.
Yes.
Is that still?
No.
No. Okay. Then never mind.
Tony came back to life.
Right.
And then Mary Jane, but right before, I guess, in that intermediate area. Before when Tony came back to life, before he retook Stark Industries,
mm-hmm.
It was being run by his mom and Mary Jane.
Yes.
Then S.H.I.E.L.D., I think, seized all of those assets and fired both of them.
So there was a thing where there was some shady dude who was on the board was trying to take it over.
Yes.
But Infamous Doom stopped that.
Tony ended up coming back and stopping it. Infamous Iron Man tried to.
Because the cloak or whatever that guy's, like, the big villain in that Infamous Iron Man had to take on.
Yeah.
Like, he coerced the dude to, like, buy it for them, and they were going to take it over. And then, yeah, they were fighting on the boat, and then that's when Tony, like, originally came back. He's like, oh, I got to go save my company.
Yeah, yeah.
And then, there was a... That's in... Something is briefly mentioned in House of X... of the S.H.I.E.L.D. involvement with Stark Tech.
There you go.
Very, very briefly, but...
Either way, it doesn't matter a whole lot.
Yeah.
Yeah, so she left that. Her and Peter got back together. So they, in Amazing Spider-Man, they're officially dating again. As of right now, she got bit by the acting bug a little bit. She found one of her, her former...
I genuinely thought you were going to say a radioactive spider.
And I was also there.
Done. Yeah. I was going to be
no.
Done.
The acting bug.
Her name will be Facade.
No, I mean, she does have spider powers in...
Shut up.
in Renew Your Vows. It's another universe where One More Day didn't happen.
Oh, yeah.
And I think I read Renew Your Vows. And instead of giving her cancer, she became a superhero.
No, got her powers from technology that she literally borrows Peter's powers, like channels those over. And they had a kid that also has spider powers. It's an adorable book. anyway, I think you'd like Annie as well. Not as much as Gabby, but
I will
like
no
Annie.
One as much as I like Gabby. I would die for Gabby. Probably Jonathan too.
I love Jonathan so much and Gabby. They're both just wonderful.
Perfect.
I'm so... I know I've said this before, but I'm going to go ahead and say it again here live on the air. You do not understand how much joy you have filled me with that you love these characters as much as I do. Because Gabby is perfect.
She's amazing.
I love her so much. Dalton, get on it.
Yeah, you need to read Tom Taylor's X-23.
Yeah, Taylor's all-new Wolverine.
Listener. All new Wolverine by Tom Taylor.
The only thing you need to know going into this book, Logan died and Laura Kinney is taking over the mantle of Wolverine.
Yes.
And go ahead. Enjoy. This is a beautiful, wonderful story. Anywho, moving back here. So yeah, Mary Jane, there's an incident that happens. She kind of saves a former friend of hers that's an actress. That was given a role after Mary Jane dropped out of being an actress, and now she wants to act, and that's I guess what this is going to be about. is her getting various roles while still trying to date Spider-Man. Or there's something that's going to be happening in the next couple of issues that's going to change a whole bunch of stuff. Who knows? But the description was, yeah, she's in Hollywood trying to make it as an actress.
And I like that. I like that a lot. I like that a lot. I like that a lot better than them like shoehorning her with like powers.
Yeah.
Like no. I think this is a more interesting concept of just following the actual like life of Mary Jane, yep. like letting her become her own, you know, truly fleshed out character as opposed to just like sidekick, which she's kind of been relegated to for a very long time. Which I mean they've done better with her, like especially recently, but
and especially like she's really awesome in Earth 65 Gwen's universe.
Mm-hmm.
I like Mary Jane there a lot. Because that's the band that Gwen's in, is the Mary Janes. It's Gwen, Mary Jane, Betty Brant, and
Tony Stark's mom.
No.
Dang it.
It's just another girl from like the Spider-Man mythos that I can't think of right now. It's not important. The point is that Mary Jane is getting her own book. And I don't think she has any superpowers or anything. I don't know who this is marketed toward. I'm probably still going to buy at least the first issue.
Because it's a number one.
It is a number one. And I do like Mary Jane. She's cool. Anyway, we also got for a complete like 180 kind of a character here. Ghost Rider is getting his own, or another book. I was about to say his own, but there's two Ghost Riders. We got Johnny Blaze and Danny Ketch are going to be in this one. Apparently Johnny Blaze is now ruling hell. And Danny Ketch is taking over the Ghost Rider mantle on Earth.
Why not?
Yeah, sure, why not? Ed Brisson and Aaron Cooter are going to be the creative team behind this one.
Wait,
say so?
Okay, so not Robbie Reyes.
Correct, Danny Ketch.
Is Robbie Reyes still a thing?
I have no idea.
Who is Danny? Have we seen Danny before?
Yes. That was the second Ghost Rider after Johnny Blaze.
I then missed a Ghost Rider.
Yeah, it went Johnny Blaze, then Danny Ketch, and then Robbie Reyes.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know the second one
I
at all.
I think that Danny Ketch is Johnny Blaze's brother, if I remember right.
Then why isn't his name Danny Blaze?
Because Blaze is a stage name.
Doesn't matter.
Yeah. Why would you not use that just as your last name?
It's cooler than Ketch.
Yeah.
I mean, for sure.
Danny, catch these hands.
But that's the only thing. Unless you say every time before you light somebody up is you're going to catch these hands.
You know, I'm gonna Google this real quick because I'm curious. I might have just lied to a whole bunch of people.
Because I only knew the two Ghost Riders. I was just like starting to stroke out a little bit.
Nerd up. We're a bunch of white dudes just speculate about things that they think they know about. This is the content, fellas.
All right. No, yeah. The first supernatural Ghost Rider and brother to Danny is Johnny Blaze. So, yeah. I'm not making it up. I was right. So he was...
It's fine. He's coming back.
No, he was actually the third Ghost Rider. Who was the... Oh, the first one would have been the...
the guy that
Nicolas
got
Cage?
No.
Oh,
no. Sam Elliott.
That was the first one. The Phantom Rider.
Yeah. Yeah, because that guy gave the powers to Cage, and then I guess things happened that things were different. I don't even know how Robbie Reyes got his powers. I just know that he did, and he's got a muscle car, and it makes me think of Supernatural. So cool.
Yeah.
End of story. That's all.
In kind of a similar way to the rest of them, he was dead. Like, he was going to die, and it's like...
Spirit of Vengeance?
Yep, Spirit of Vengeance. And that's how the Ghost Rider was born.
You won't mess some fools up?
Messing some fools up. So yeah, Johnny Blaze is ruling hell. And apparently this book is going to talk about how that happened.
Okay, good. I was like, how much Marvel do I not know? Honestly, I thought I was decent, and then I was like, oh no, I'm missing a lot. Now I'm reading, I'm doing my homework, I'm trying to piece the Marvel universe back together in my own mind. It's like, oh yeah, no, so Johnny Blaze is in charge of hell? Like, sure.
Why not?
Yeah, 616 is a big universe, homie. Lots of stuff.
Richards need to calm down.
Start working harder. Make it all one.
All right. And this last portion of our podcast is brought to you by our friends at Press Start to Join. You can find all of their content at PS2J Show, including their past podcasts and social media links. Last Wednesday of each month, including this coming Wednesday, the 31st, they do History of Gaming. This month, they're talking about Sega, and they're actually doing on their Patreon a free, I guess, prequel show to the Sega show where they talk about Sega's origins going all the way back to the 1940s.
You're about to add a coin sound effect if he keeps messing with me with this stupid paper towel.
I'm just trying to talk over it.
That's what you do. You don't interrupt the ad read.
You need to be a professional, Dalton.
Be a grown-up
professional.
Okay. Sorry, Josh. I apologize for messing up your ad. Your show is great. I'm happy that I'm one of the patrons. But Ace is about to catch these Ghost Rider hands, whichever one that says that.
I will catch nothing from you, you child.
There's a couple of things you could... Never mind.
Not true.
He wishes. Just real quick in comics. So I read House of X, which is the big Jonathan Hickman big relaunch of the X-Men, totally upending the status quo of mutants in general.
Diamond ruined
in the Marvel
my copy.
Universe. Did they really?
Yeah.
That's
heartbreaking.
They lost like 6 copies or something like that. They were folded in half.
So they're trying to get they did a second order for them, hopefully.
Fortunately, the second order is still going to be first printings.
Because
so.
Remember I said I asked if there was an extra. They said no because most of them got ruined.
Yeah.
You lucked out.
Same thing with my symbiote Spider-Man.
Oh, that's a bummer. Diamond, get your house in order.
Get your house in order.
Boy, I wish we need another. We need to just change this from a PG show. but so I read it. It was very well done. It was interesting. There were some choices made, especially in the storytelling area. But I didn't understand anything that happened. They keep plugging this as a great jumping on point, and I very much disagree.
I imagine the first couple of issues are going to be a lot of transition.
I can't say it because it's spoilery, but literally just characters, it's oh, I thought all of you were dead. And they're just
actually a list online that I saw while researching this show. Mm-hmm. All of the mutants that come or that are in House of X that have come back to life.
Cool. So it's okay, I thought these people were dead. All right, that's fine. Okay, is this thing that they keep name-dropping supposed to mean something? Because they don't do a good job of explaining it, really. So I don't know if it's something that I should already know and I'm just missing, but it's dense, and I'm hoping as it goes it does a better job of kind of explaining things.
Mm.
One of the cool things that I do like is that they have a listing of all of the Omega-level mutants.
I saw that too.
That's super cool. I didn't know that Iceman was an Omega level mutant.
About to say he was an
apparently has the potential, but he never hit it.
We had this discussion one time a year ago during because they clarified that in the Iceman book.
Huh?
Because I said no, he's an Omega, he is one of the stronger mutants, and you said, well, whenever it's relegated to his own side story, he can be as strong as he wants.
Yeah.
But canon wise, he's been an Omega level for a while.
Yeah.
But he's never hit that potential.
But it's also just the specific he can. It's low temperature, because there's so many different subcategories. Also, some of the Omega level mutants have the same power.
Yeah.
So it's wait, so the power cannot be surpassed. So they're just equal? I don't know. I also don't know what the difference between matter and power manipulate. It's weird. Mutants are weird. Check it out. It's going to probably be super hard to find. And it could be very, very interesting because, like I said, there are some choices made that are okay.
Yeah, and this is just going to be a few issues of each of the House of X and Powers of X. And then at the end of this thing is going to relaunch X-Men books.
Yeah, there's going to be two books, I think, and I think they're both written by Hickman still.
Yeah, there's going to be 2 books at first, and they're going to kind of intertwine a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Which is bummer. I liked X-Men Blue.
Yeah, I mean that's typical of X-Men stuff.
And that's what I'm going back now and rereading is Blue, and then I'll go through – or no, I'm reading Gold, and then I'll go through and read Blue, and then if Red is caught up, I'll try to read that. But
Red's pretty caught up. If not, I think I have all of them.
Because I'm just singles. All right, I guess I need to try to figure out who's alive and who's not, and there's really only been the 3 real big ones.
A lot of those characters came back to life in the last few months worth of – there's a lot of the characters that are back to life in House of X and Powers of X that I don't think Marvel Unlimited will have. Because
neat,
yeah. it's been fairly recent on a few of them. Obviously, Jean Grey, but
I'm trying to give you money. I really am.
And they're like,
also, I will spoil this for you. There is no Gabby.
She better be in Powers of X.
We'll see. Because why? Why are you doing a mutant book if you are not going to have Gabby?
Makes no sense.
Gabby is life. Gabby's love.
I'm waiting for the legend to come out so I can buy it and be like, hey guys, look what I bought.
I thought the Gabby already had a legend. Honey Badger.
Honey Badger doesn't have a legend yet.
I thought she did, because I thought you showed it to me.
No, no, I got X-23.
Well, I know X-23. X-23 and All New Wolverine. Like, she has one in each of them.
Yeah, I have both those. I haven't done Honey Badger yet. I would have let you know.
Yeah, because I could have sworn. Maybe this is a weird fever dream. Like, in my head, I'm seeing the figure. Oh no, it was one of the comic variants. Because I'm seeing the figure with the Jonathan next to it. I'm like, this happened. No, it didn't.
Yeah, it's probably one of those.
It was one of those action figure variant covers.
The first two that pop up are customs.
Those action figure variants tick me off. Because I'll see them be like, and then I'll be like, no. It's a comic book.
Just a variant cover.
Yeah, they did it with the Power Ranger books for a while, too. And those really made me back because they were legit cooler than the figures they were coming out with at the time.
Yeah.
The Legacy figures, or not the Legacy, that's what just came out. The Lightning figures that Hasbro just started. Mm. I have the Tommy, the White Ranger one. It is sick.
Neat. All right, so video game stuff. So we're going to start off with Fire Emblem Three Houses. It came out last Friday. I grabbed it, so I'm going to go do some first impressions. I haven't gotten very far. Yes, Dalton?
How many hours?
11. Yeah, not near as many as I thought I was going to have into it this weekend.
Okay, that's fine.
It was a very busy weekend.
No, it was a busy weekend. Just I love how he's like, I haven't put a lot of time into it. 11 hours. It's been out for 3 days.
That is not much time.
3 days, all right, anyway, just keep going. You've almost put a half a day in it in the matter of three.
Yeah, I mean, that's 72 hours total that I could have, like, I'm here now and not playing it. But no, I'm really, really enjoying it. Like, I didn't know how much I would like. Andrew is significantly further than me. That's where this is coming from, by the way.
He's had a really not busy weekend.
Oh, he also had a really busy weekend. I'm flabbergasted that he's this far ahead of me. But anyway, I didn't know exactly how much I was going to like the micromanage-y stuff that starts off with, because the story is that you're a professor at this academy for basically military training. It's for other stuff too, but that's what this is for. It's run by a church. Like, don't read too much into these details. It makes more sense when you play it. But either way, so you get hired on as a professor here. You're about the same age as your students, maybe a little bit older.
To which, when he told me that, I said, oh, so it's a grad assistant.
But you were, basically, because you were raised as, you know, in a mercenary family. Raised with mercenaries. You have a lot of actual, like, real-life combat experience. So they want you to, you know, that's an interesting perspective you can give to the students. I didn't know how much I would like the micromanaging stuff of, like, actually having to, do classroom stuff. But it was framed really poorly for me, because what it actually is you get a whole bunch of units that don't have an actual class. As in, like, a fighter or a myrmidon or a hero or mercenary, whatever. They don't have those classes yet. So you get to teach them and train them up and basically mold them into whatever classes you want these children to be. I say children, they're all like 18, except for a couple notable exceptions. But yeah, no, it's super, super cool. Like, I really like the idea that I've got these, it gives me 8 people with no class whatsoever. They have their personalities, they have their own desires for what they want to do, and their own specialties, but you can mold them into whatever you want them to be class-wise. And I'm all about that. That makes me really happy. I'm really, really, really enjoying the micromanaging stuff in this.
I'm not going to lie. Everything that I've heard about it and, like, seen the reviews and stuff, other than the gameplay, I am super interested in this game. But it's the core gameplay itself that I'm just like, oh, I will never be good at you.
Oh, on the bright side, there is a casual mode, so you no longer have permadeath if you want to play it that way. And then the normal difficulty is not very hard, and it's so easy to grind your characters up to a point where they're unkillable if you want to go that route.
Oh, no, just in general. Like, even I would die grinding. Because I would send someone to this square instead of that square, and all of a sudden it's just like, oh, by the way, now you're flanked. Good luck. Good job seeing that coming.
Another super fun thing that this game has added, if you move a character before you actually, like, they basically give you an easy mode version of, you know, you ever played chess as a kid or checkers, and you have your finger on it, like, my finger's still on it.
Oh, yeah.
My finger's still on it, and you're looking at the, you know, what could come at you.
Mm-hmm.
This actually draws lines. If you throw the character, like, into a square before you actually, like,
confirm
that character being there, lines will pop up from bad guys, like, we's going to target this one.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah,
then you're like, no, she's not.
And I was like, whoo, that's four lines coming at this one. Back up. Never mind. I don't want to do that one. I didn't take my finger off the piece.
I was still touching it.
So yeah, Asa, fear abated there for you. It will tell you.
Get it.
No.
You should just go buy it.
I mean, you don't have to, but I'm just saying, like, I think that a lot of the problems you've had with these games in the past could possibly...
I also just don't, like, super enjoy that style, like, that kind of tactical thinking.
I guess that's fair, too. But the story, what I hear, like, I'm not as far into it as I would like to be, but the story I hear is phenomenal. And they got rid of the dating child simulator, is my understanding, which happened in Awakening and Fates a little. Where you basically would pair up your units, get them married off, they'd have babbies, and then you fight with the babbies.
Because they would come from the past to the future, or from the future to the past?
Only in Awakening. In Fates, it was very different and a weird mechanic.
Oh, that's right, you were
They would go into
me.
A pocket dimension where time went faster. It's dumb. I understand that.
Time travel. Oh, the slow blink. That's how I know he's over it.
But Three Houses doesn't have any of those mechanics. Either way, yeah, no, I'm really digging it. My first impressions is it's a solid buy. Even if you're not huge into the tactical gameplay and stuff like that, like, it's still a JRPG, which I know is a turnoff for a lot of people.
Raise his hand.
But it's super fun. Like, the micromanaging stuff had me a little worried, but yeah, no, I'm actively enjoying going to the micromanaging stuff, going into battle, training them up so I can, and the way you train them, you have them take certification tests, and depending on how you've trained them up, increases their odds of passing the certification test for the particular classes.
I just had
super neat.
Just had a slight cringe moment of certification tests. No, I don't want to play this game now, Jesse.
What do you have to be certified to do?
Wrestle. The blood test.
You don't have to.
So the other game that came out, this was before last week's episode of Nerd Up, but since we had that Phase 4 stuff going, Marvel Ultimate Alliance 3 came out. Dalton picked that one up. Shannon gives it a really rating. I think Hunter's been enjoying it quite a bit. Dalton, go ahead and hit your review real quick, and then we've got actual news about Ultimate Alliance 3.
I'm going to say buy it if you have an affinity for... Marvel Ultimate Alliance 1 and 2. If you love those games, I would say buy it and try it. I would suggest going on Friendly first and then going to Mighty, because I went straight into Mighty and it was difficult. Like, it is unforgivingly hard. Like, you can screw up little. The camera, like, somebody, Hunter mentioned the camera. There's a couple moments where the camera really does screw you, but it wasn't the worst thing in the world, in my opinion.
Well, I know, like, Shannon mentioned at one point with a camera, and I'm sorry to interrupt your review.
Oh, no,
here, but,
no, you're fine.
And Shannon mentioned one point in the camera, him and Bob were stuck with a camera, like, looking, basically.
The camera was outside the building, so you were seeing the exterior of the building, and
they
were
just having
fighting
a fight.
Indoors.
Yeah, and I think I know where that's at, and that wasn't even that bad. In my opinion, it could be different, and people are different, but if you loved the first two games, you're going to enjoy this one. I don't think it's as strong as a offering. That being said, it's a lot of fun. I enjoy it. They give you a lot of characters up front, and they very much encourage you using new characters all the time. And by encourage, I mean they're leveled up to where they need to be when you unlock them. So if you haven't been grinding, you have to level them up. That was the issue I was having. So now I'm currently going back and grinding, like, Cap.
Also, doesn't it give you, like, items that you can give to characters to, like,
yes,
boost their experience and
yeah,
stuff
yeah, but
that?
Those are, like, they're pretty plentiful at first. So if you, like, have a character, like, I was using it on Spider-Man, be like, oh, cool, well, I'll just find more of these experience. Oh, never mind. Because you find most of them, and then it's just like, well, it's kind of hard to find. But you have to do, like, Infinity Core stuff, because there's a lot of mini games. It's a very meaty game.
Yeah, I've heard there's a lot of, like, there's a lot of substance to it between, like, the grinding, the, like, trying to chase star ratings, trying to go through these, like, specific courses where it's like some of them you can only, like, you this level you can only play as Spider-Man. So it's like you don't even have a team. You were strictly Spider-Man, and you're, like, having to solo this.
Yeah, and that's
level.
To get, like, you get, like, stars and experience orbs, and then, like, the outfit is, like, the extra one. You only get one extra outfit, and then most of them are pretty bland. Like, just there's palette swaps, which is fine. But it's, like, the old ones had, like, four costumes, and they were vastly different from each other. But it's one of those things. So I'm going to say buy it if you loved the first two games. Don't You can buy it for like a kid. So like Zane, if you're listening, you can buy it for your kids, but it's going to be a little bit more like, it's pretty in depth. It's more in depth than you think it would be.
Not something they can just jump into, like, I'm going to play a Spider-Man.
And like, because I know there's a crazy amount of, like, micromanagement in that game, too.
Yeah. And, like, they did, like, they very much did the Final Fantasy X sphere grid, where it's like, oh, to help your abilities and stuff like that. Which, like, I played Final Fantasy X, so I was like, this is neat, but completely unnecessary.
Yeah, and I'm kind of glad I picked everything I hear about this game. Like, I still want to play it at some point.
Yeah.
But I'm real glad I picked Fire Emblem over it.
And here's the thing. I say the exact same thing, that I'm really happy I picked up Marvel Ultimate Alliance 3 instead of Fire Emblem. Because, like, you love Fire Emblem, and I loved, like, all of those games, like, past. Like, those were my Fire Emblem.
I mean, I loved Marvel Ultimate Alliance 1 and 2, don't get me wrong. I loved those games and rebought them when they re-released them.
Oh, yeah, we played them a couple times together.
Yeah. No, I'm a huge fan of those games. Like, they're super fun couch co-op games. I just, yeah, everything I've heard about this one, though, is it's...
I haven't played co-op yet at all.
I would like to play co-op at some point, like hit some couch co-op on it. But anyway, Fire Emblem, though. Solid.
I love how you went back to your review.
I know, right?
Yeah, D-bag.
Yeah, no, because I'm going right back to Marvel Ultimate Alliance 3. If you're not happy with the characters a whole lot, August 30th, they've confirmed that Cyclops and Colossus are getting added. Which, the fact that they weren't in there like to begin with is just crazy to me.
I think it's to give the game kind of... curtained like longevity, where it's like, or perceived longevity, where it's like, keep playing because you know you're gonna get two more characters soon that you don't have to pay for.
Yeah, because they will be free for Cyclops and Colossus. They also announced the first DLC pack, which is not free. It'll have Morbius, Moon Knight, Punisher, and Blade.
I already paid for it.
Which, I mean, a few of those characters are pretty cool. Like, I'm interested in trying it. Like, if I ever find it, like if they ever run a sale where it's like $20 for it, I'll definitely grab it.
Yeah. Paying 60 might be a little much. Like, that being said, I'm nowhere near beating it, I don't think.
Yeah.
And, I mean, like, nowhere near having any characters the level I want them.
I'm not saying that it's not worth $60 in general, because there is a lot of stuff to do in the game. Like, Asa listed a whole bunch of stuff that you can do.
Yeah.
I just don't, like, to me, it's not worth $60 right now.
Shannon is very underwhelmed with it, and I told him, like, I'm going to borrow his copy, like, before he inevitably trades it in.
Yeah.
Also, I think worth noting with that, the bullseye thing, where the camera was switching, you're not playing with someone else. Him and Bob were playing together. So when you're playing with more than just one person, it locks the camera in place, whereas you could control it. I think that's a pretty important note to make, too.
My bad.
So anyway, the last little bit of stuff we got to talk about here, or I'm just going to close out, I guess, with this, with a little bit more Switch stuff. They did announce that they're releasing a new version of the Switch with extended battery life. So I guess they're copying a little bit of what they did with the Switch
Lite. It's entirely because they're getting different parts. They're switching from Chinese parts to, like, Taiwanese, I think, get around the trade embargo.
Because it's like, it's a more efficient CPU and a better battery.
Yeah. So they're, but it's not because they're like, oh, we want to change the system. It's just like, oh, we don't want to pay these tariffs, so we're getting these new parts, and these new parts just happen to be better.
Yep, because it's the same parts they're using in the Switch Lite.
Yeah.
For like the CPU and battery wise, so that's super cool. Like, it'll run cooler, it'll run a little bit more efficient, and you'll jump from, I think the one I saw with Breath of the Wild, you get about 3 hours of battery on Breath of the Wild. It jumps up to like 5.5, which, I mean, like 5.5 is still not long on battery, but that's a significant percentage increase.
Yep.
I know 5.5 hours is not long, but playing a game like Breath of the Wild handheld for 5.5 hours is still, like, mind-bogglingly incredible to me. So, yeah. So that's just kind of neat. And also, if you've got the Joy-Con drift problem, which I know a lot of people do with the left or right Joy-Con, Nintendo was charging to get that fixed. It is now free, and anybody that has paid to get their Joy-Cons fixed will get refunded.
Oh, I missed that part. That's cool.
Yep, I think you do have to contact Nintendo about that refund. So if you have made this repair through Nintendo yourself, contact them if they haven't contacted you already.
Do you still have to pay shipping? Money.
Probably.
Okay.
But I honestly don't know.
Okay.
Because I know a lot of times with those warranty fixes or whatever, they give you a label to print out, and you just slap it on a box and send it to Nintendo.
Mm-hmm.
So hopefully that's the way this is, but I haven't looked into that process
at all. With an issue like this, it better be that.
You would want it to be, because I know it's not a hard fix to do at home.
But at the same time, this is a faulty product they're putting out that they were charging people to make.
Yeah, it's the whole thing, like...
Because they were blaming, like, they're
and
saying,
their official statement was, we'll check the support site.
So, yeah, but it's fixed now. You can, I mean, like, I don't think the problem is fixed. Like, it's still going to have those issues.
It's funny,
but it's now free to get it fixed if you have that issue.
Yeah, it's funny what almost a class action lawsuit will do.
All right, because, yeah, they were looking into the class action for it. All right, guys, that's going to do it for Nerd Up.
Dang it.
What?
I wanted to talk about the Avengers game leak.
Oh, God, that should have been higher. We're a little over, but we got a little bit of time to talk about the Avengers game leak. So we did get it would have been a little over 2 weeks ago now, or a little under 2 weeks. At Comic-Con, someone leaked the gameplay from the upcoming Avengers action game
from the Hall H Marvel Games panel.
Yes. So we got to see some of the gameplay from Thor, Hulk, Iron Man, Black Widow, all the main characters. And Captain America.
Yeah.
Basically, I think they were showing us that first level.
It was essentially
with the disaster.
What it was is the behind closed doors footage that the press and influencer crowd got to see at E3. Because the only thing the public saw was that announced trailer.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And then whenever the press people went to meetings, they actually got to see the gameplay trailer for it. And then that's what they showed to the audience there at Hall H. It wasn't publicized, it wasn't streamed anywhere. They're even saying that apparently that isn't being planned to be shown in an official capacity until after Gamescom, which is almost September. Like, it's like the last week of August. So
it was kind of a big deal that we got to that it leaked.
It was split between two videos because the person who was filming it illegally, again, this is someone who was breaking like a bunch of convention rules and things. They had to put away their phone briefly because they almost got caught, and then it got cut off again because, again, they almost got caught. I was very underwhelmed. Like, there was a lot of it that I was just like, and again, it's phone quality. It's mm-hmm. You're not seeing the full screen. It's unfair to judge it by it, but kind of yikes.
Yeah, basically, my biggest, positive thing I can say about it, because I wasn't, like, I was a little underwhelmed as well. It looked extremely cinematic, which I thought was kind of cool. Like a lot of things seemed to interact pretty, like, interestingly. But, again, we didn't see how the controls worked. We didn't see exactly how movement worked, like, how the combat worked. Mm-hmm. We just got to see from, you know, a weird angle phone video of combat happening.
Mm-hmm.
We don't even know, like, how much of it was being, you know, controlled, like, how much of it is, like, you know, walk up to person A to wreck with Thor.
Except you don't really. Like, he's fighting human dudes and having to combo them.
Well, except for the one guy that he hit up in the air and then knocked 30 million feet away.
I mean, yeah, the one guy.
used all of his strength on the one.
he has to hold back a little bit because they're human. I don't know.
It's the Avengers. They murk people left and right.
They kind of do.
That ain't a secret.
They can't in the video games. But no, there were like
yeah, you can you with, cowards.
It's T-rated, Asa.
Because with Thor and Hulk, like it wasn't much different except for the cinematic finishes. Yeah. It wasn't much different than like if Cap was fighting them or like Black Widow was fighting them,
which was a bummer. For me, because it's just like, no, they need, like, these heroes are so different. I want them to feel different. I want them to look different. And it's like, there were like, surface-level differences with how, you know, the final hit in a combo.
Yeah, I was about to say, the cinematic stuff, like, the ground pounds mm-hmm. from Hulk and from Thor, like, send people scattering and flying all over the place. Like I said, there was the one where Thor hit him, like, up in the air and then just straight, like...
Launched him into the wall on the other side of the room.
No. Away. He went over the wall. Like the one I remember seeing. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
He got launched. He went 3 miles out.
He got hit so hard into a new Avengers territory.
But again, that was like cinematic.
Yeah, that was a little cinematic.
That didn't look regular combat.
That almost to me looked like a graphical glitch. Because that man got sent into the stratosphere.
I wanted to see, like, I don't know, I was just kinda hoping, because I've said it before, and I think when me and Shannon talked about it a couple weeks so much, it's like Thor throwing the hammer and calling it back, that needs to feel like God of War.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that needs to feel like the axe. Flying as Iron Man needs to feel like Anthem, if not better. And it just, nothing that we saw really, like.
But flying as Iron Man, almost, when I was watching it, looked like it was rail.
And not good. To me, like, bad. Personally, not okay.
Which, granted, a lot of times when you see this gameplay stuff, it looks like it's on a rail.
Yeah.
Because, like, they have a set thing that they're going to do.
Yeah, which is why I'm trying not to be, like, super critical of it, of, like, what we've seen. But, like, there were certain things that it's just, like, you were going to have just an armed somebody walk up and try to fist fight the Hulk.
Yeah.
Get out of here with that.
Yeah.
That's stupid.
Like, these have got to be, like, unless these are, like, aliens that are, like, shaped like humans or something like that.
And I don't think it is. I think it's just the Taskmaster terrorist cell.
And see, that's what I'm thinking, too. And that is not okay.
Yeah.
Because that's just poorly written AI. Because
maybe.
You don't have, like, those, like, everybody that's on Earth understands that they don't fist fight the Hulk.
No, because they're terrified. That should just be a group of people fleeing and him, like, chasing them down.
Right. But, you know, like, they are basically people that are launching, like, rockets and, like, shooting him, trying to slow him down, preventing him
right.
from, like, ripping
getting
the Taskmaster
them.
In twain.
The only, and the other thing that I, again, I know we're not going to get this right away. The only thing that I'm really hoping that we do get is some level of interactability between the characters.
Yeah.
Because, like, everything that we saw so far was each individual, it was their solo movie.
Yeah.
You know, it's just, okay, here's, you're playing as Thor here, you're playing as Cap here. There was no, like, Avengers-style Thor, you know, Cap throws the hammer, or Cap throws the shield, Thor throws the hammer, causes a sound wave, like, Ultimate Alliance-style team-up
yeah.
moves. Because...
Which we've gotten confirmation that those exist.
Have we?
Yes.
Okay. Okay.
Because they talked about, like, in the way the multiplayer is going to work.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, you can't have, you can't double up with characters, so you can't have, like, two Thors or whatever. And, yeah, they've talked about, like, some combo mechanics. But it's mostly stuff that, like, we haven't seen it. We've just, like, they've talked about it.
But they've confirmed that we have it. Okay, that's good.
Doesn't this come out spring 2020?
Like, May, I think.
Yeah, I think
okay.
so.
I'll double check.
It's supposed to be like in the first half of next year.
All right. I mean, I'm wondering just for my sake of what we have.
May 15th, 2020.
Yep. Okay. Well, we're getting close.
Ish.
Under
if,
a year.
If it sticks.
Yeah. Which it.
Video game world, you know, delays are not uncommon, but also they are necessary. I'm not going to be mad. Like if they decide like we're not ready yet.
I'm going to be bummed.
Yeah. I'll be disappointed. But
is it Square Enix?
Square Enix Crystal
yeah.
Dynamics.
Oh, I'm used to it.
Actually, I don't know if Crystal Dynamics is doing it anymore.
I was say, this is very, that's very on brand for Square if it gets delayed. I'm going to be like, oh, I will literally laugh at people online. I'll be like, oh, sweet child, this developer right here, or this publisher right here.
Yeah. All right, guys, that's going to do it for us here on Nerd Ups. Thank you so much for tuning in. We've been doing the Tell a Friend campaign, so just tell a friend about the show. We don't advertise literally any other way. It's all just
word of mouth.
Yeah. So yeah, make sure to get us out of there. Just let a friend know, hey, this is an interesting podcast, you should hear their opinion on this.
Also, ratings on various podcasting services helps with like the recommendation.
Oh,
so
yeah.
Like if
helps
they're listening
visibility a whole
if
lot
they're
too.
Listening to something, you know, and you know, more and more people are subscribed and, you know, have rated us highly on a podcast service, we're more likely to show up in a if you like this, you would also enjoy this.
Yep. So yeah, throw us that rating. I understand that you may not want to give us 5 stars if you only want to give us 4. Like that.
Fight the urge.
Just give us 5. At that point, you're arguing semantics.
If you want us to be better, you start.
Just let us know on Facebook. Like, what can we do? What can we do to bring that up to a 5-star?
Tell us on Podcatcher. It's a 5, and then come talk to us personally, and we'll try to fix it.
This is why you're a 3.
Oh, no. oh, that might break my heart a little. Anyway, that's going to do it for us, though, guys. We'll see you back here tomorrow for the hype train. Yeah, me, Ace, and Trevor, at least, maybe Dalton here. I think he mentioned something about wanting to be there. And then, yeah, we got PWU and PZAD, and then we start it all again. Thank you all so much for listening, and we'll see you next time.